I'm Ed the Sock, and this is FU Politics on Fun, the FU Network, powered by your support on patreon.com/FU Network TV and through PayPal at funetworktv@gmail.com. Drop us a few bucks. Don't be a freeloader. And now, here's your show.
Now, let's listen. Wasn't that something?
And now, here's Michelle Badusky, keeping it real.
Hey everyone, it is Michelle Badusky. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am super excited to be here because today I want to talk about something really important to me and hopefully eventually to you. Because one thing I discovered over the last 20 years of my journey through self-healing and development as I worked through my history of mental illness, you know, once I got diagnosed with my mental illness, my life really changed and I had to learn a whole new way of coping. Because my whole life I had used drugs to cope. You know, if I was feeling low and depressive, I would use cocaine to bring me up. And if I was feeling manic and compulsive and obsessive, I would actually use a variety of different opioids to bring me down. And I could no longer do that once I got clean in October of 2000. So once my diagnosis actually came into my life, I felt this sigh of relief because I realized there was something I can do about it. And regardless of whether or not you have a diagnosis of a mental illness, or you are just feeling a little out of sorts, or you're just trying to work towards a goal or a vision for your life that you want to manifest, it's kind of the same thing. There is something we can do about it. We all have the power within us to do something about what we want to see in our lives. The problem is that no amount of education, no amount of tools, I could give you a toolbox. I could tell you, do this, do this, do this, do this. I could lay it all out for you. You can lay it all out for you. Anyone could lay it all out for you. But if you have a really big but in your life, none of it's going to work. Now, I'm not talking about that thing that you're sitting on. You know, some of us have bigger ones, some of us have smaller ones. That's not the butt I'm talking about. I'm talking about the butt that's in your head. That butt that, you know, that little voice in the side of your head that you hear when I tell you that you can live the life of your dreams. It's there. But. Or when you get a thought that pops into your mind, it's, oh, I'd really like to do this. But. Now, some of us have big butts in our lives that aren't inside of our heads. You know, it could be a spouse, a parent, a friend, just an acquaintance. That person, I call them lobsters. And if you've been working with me for a while now and kind of, you know, working through some of my coaching tools, you would have learned about lobsters and how lobsters tend to pull us down because it's easier to pull others down than to raise ourselves up. Those lobsters in our lives are big butts. They're the ones that, you know, you get really excited about an idea and you share it and say, I think I'm going to do this. And they go, but what about this? Or, but what about that? Or you've always done this, or this is just, and they just bring you down. Those are lobsters. And they can be devastating to us if we give them the power to be. The difference between those lobsters and the butts in our head is that we can actually create boundaries to separate us from them. When they're external to us, when they are other people, even if they're family members, we can set boundaries and say, you know, I don't want to hear it. If you don't have anything nice to me, don't say anything at all. Or, you know, I'm not going to allow you to treat me that way. I'm a big believer that we teach people how to treat us. And when we set those boundaries, either they raise up the way they talk and treat us, or they disappear from our lives. And either way, we are better off. And that's a whole different segment that we're going to talk about lobsters and boundaries. But my point is that when they're external to us, we have a little bit more control because we can actually physically distance. The problem with ourselves is that we are with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We don't get a break from us. We can't distance ourselves from us. Ourselves are a part of us, right? And I know it sounds absolutely ridiculous to say out loud, but it is so true. We are with ourselves all the time, and we will be for the rest of our lives. So unless we learn to be friends and our own best friend, we're in trouble. So the butts that are in our head, those little voices, those ones that bring us down, if they're inside of us, they can be more devastating than anybody on the outside. And where those voices come from a lot of different ways. Now, if you're like me, you know, I grew up, there was a lot of addiction, there was a lot of poverty, there was a lot of abuse. And I grew up believing that I wasn't worth a whole lot, that I was never going to amount to anything, that I was a disappointment. And everything that was good that happened, I internalized and said, but it's not good enough. It's not going to work. It's not good enough, you know. For an example, and I put this on one of my social media posts the other day, so you can search it up if you're looking for it. But the things that we, you know, the memories that we have in our lives shape who we are and shape our self-talk. And I ask my clients to write down their 10 most memorable moments in their lives, good or bad, and what it meant to them. And two of mine, one of them was, and it was completely, you know, looking back on it 40 years later, it was one of these things that was just, as a mom, you just say things and you don't necessarily realize how your children are going to manifest them, how they're going to internalize them. But when I was about 5 years old, I remember asking my mother why she and my sister had green eyes and I had brown eyes. So if you're looking at me on camera right now, I'm kind of blonde, gray. That's not natural. My natural hair color is black, 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 black hair. And I've got really dark, dark brown eyes. So, you know, just in case you're listening to me and not watching me, just picture that. So I asked my mom why her and my sister had green eyes and I had brown eyes. And I was just a little kid. And, you know, I'm a mom of four and my kids ask me all sorts of questions and I sometimes give them dismissive answers. But because of this experience with my mother 40 years ago, I'm a little bit more aware of how easy people can internalize and manifest our words, even if that's not how we meant it. So my mom looked at me and she said, well, my mother always told me, like her mother, my grandmother, always told me that the sign of true beauty was a woman with dark hair and light eyes. Now, she was sharing a memory of her and her mother, both of which had dark hair and light eyes. My sister had, you know, lighter hair than mine, but still dark hair and light eyes. But I had dark hair and dark eyes. And I remember thinking, well, instantly, I felt ugly. Instantly, I felt ugly compared to my mother and my sister because they told me that I was not a true beauty. They didn't mean to. She didn't mean to. I, you know, 40 years later, I look back on that and I see it as just an offhanded comment by a mom, maybe an impatient, tired mom with a five-year-old that asked too many questions, whatever her reasons were. That's not how she meant it. But 40 years later, I still remember that feeling. And I remember as I grew up how I never, ever felt beautiful. Even when someone told me I was, I'd hear, but. Oh yeah, he's just saying that, but. Or I never felt like I compared to my sister. And it created a lot of animosity in that relationship because there was always this competition. And even though she's 8 years older than me and there shouldn't have been, I always felt as though there was. Now, that is one example. The other example came from my father, and I'll never forget. I was a very good student. I still am. I take a lot of pride in that today, but a lot of it comes from not so much hard work, but just the way my brain works. I have a very good memory, and anyone who knows me knows I can remember conversations from, you know, word for word that happened 4 years ago if they were important to me. So school was my escape. I didn't do well with the interpersonal relationships and had a whole lot of trouble with the social aspect of school in high school. But when it came to classes, I was very good at it. And I poured myself into these different worlds of mathematics. And I used to read Shakespeare for fun because it was an escape for me from the reality of my life. So I did very well in school. And it was kind of a given that I would do well. So if I came home and I said to my dad, oh, I got 98% on this test. His response every single time was, where was the other 2%? And this, I know he felt, I mean, my dad's been gone 24 years now. I can't ask him about it. I would now if I could. I'm sure, though, that he meant it kind of as a running joke. That, yes, I expect it from you. Good job. Blah, blah, blah. But he never said that. He never said, I'm proud of you. He never said, good job. He always said, where's the other 2%? So growing up with all of the other issues I had, you know, dealing with my mental illness, addiction, abuse, all of those things, these few words really shaped that internal voice in my head so that when I, even now, if I get, you know, 98% on an assignment, and yes, at age 45, I am still attending college. I have a passion for learning. I'm so glad that you do, because if you're listening to this, that means you do too. I always want to learn more. I want to absorb. I'm like a sponge. So even now, I find that when I don't do as well as I expect, I have that voice in my head, that but. You did well, but. So I don't know what your but says to you in your mind. I know that over the years, mine has said a lot of things. Mine has said that I'm not worthy. Mine has said that I'm never going to amount to much. Mine has said I'm not beautiful. I'm not smart enough. I don't work hard enough. I'm lazy. Do you ever have that voice in your head? I have that one all the time. My family used to call, especially my sister. And if my sister's listening to this, I apologize to her because she doesn't realize it. But my sister is one of those, I always, you know, used to tease her, but my sister's one of those women that is empowered and energized by housework. Maybe you're one. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just not that way. I'm the opposite. I look at my house and go, you know, the idea of housework and laundry and doing that and cleaning absolutely exhausts me, which is weird because I actually owned a very successful residential house cleaning company. And I love to clean and train people to clean properly because I am a food safety sanitation trainer and expert. I love doing it for other people. I love seeing those results. But for myself, it's a drainer. It sucks the energy out of me. It's a drainer. So if I was to put what fills my bucket, you know, what fills my tank, housework for other people, I love. Now, don't ask me to come clean your house. Ain't going to happen. But I do love it. Maybe you'll catch me on a good day. But for myself, it's a drainer. My sister was the opposite. She just got energized, and you could see it in her when she cleaned her house. So if she would come to my house, she would clean because she felt I was a slob, and she would, you know, make jokes about it and all of those things. So it was one of these things that I feel in the back of my mind when I'm sitting on the couch having a cup of coffee and I notice that there's some dust bunnies. That voice, that butt in my head, tells me how lazy I am. Even to this day, I still have that voice. And you might have it too. Now, the difference is, and I shouldn't say difference, because maybe you are even further than I am on this journey, and you can teach me a few things. But one thing I have learned, the difference between me now and where I was, is that those buts, those voices in my head no longer control me. I can start to recognize them for what they are, and I call it challenging the logic. I actually engage these voices in conversation. Now, before you call a hotline and start, you know, emailing me, telling me I should look up, you know, anything about hearing voices and schizophrenia and all those things, that's not it. That's not what I'm talking about. What I am talking about is being able to recognize the butt for what they are and kind of calling that butt out. So yes, it is talking to yourself, but it's doing it in a positive way to make you realize that these little voices have power, but they only have as much power as you give them. And that's really important to say. So no matter where you are on your journey, if you have a goal in your life, if you want more, if you're working towards a new job, a new career, weight loss, anything, trying to get physically well, relationships, none of it is going to work unless that voice inside your head is on the same track as you. But if it's working against you, if those buts are actually sabotaging you, it's not going to work. So as you have your plan, you have to recognize what your butt is telling you, and you have to learn to shut it. Yes, I am telling you to shut your butt. So I'm going to tell you what works for me. Maybe you found something that works for you, and I'm happy to hear it. You know, send me a message, shoot me an email. Let's talk about these different ways of shutting our butts, because not everything works the same way for everyone. All I can tell you is what I do and what works for me and how much it's helped me. So the first thing I had to do was recognize my butt. The first thing, and just being able to tell you about it, and you might be sitting there going, oh yeah, that voice inside my head. Okay, give it a name. I call it my butt. I like calling it my butt because I talk about shutting my butt. I talk about shrinking my butt. I talk about, you know, my butt's been too big today. Tomorrow I need a smaller butt. I have a warped sense of humor that way. But I mean, you can call your butt anything. Call it Internet Karen. Call it, you know, Shelly. It doesn't matter. Whatever you call that voice inside your head, give it a name. Acknowledge it so that when you hear it, you go, oh, that's what that is. Oh, that's what that is. All right. So acknowledging it is the first step. And when I do hear it, so I'm going to give you an example. I am embracing a whole new way of doing business. I have pivoted a little bit. When I started my company, Butterfly Consultations, back in 2005, I started as a personal coach and consultant. That's been my passion. I've loved it. That's where I wanted to go when I was done school, when I got my diploma in nutrition and diet therapy and fitness training and all of those things. I absolutely love working with other people and have done it for about 20 years now as a peer mentor, as I'm working through addictions, as family support. I'm not a mental health practitioner. I am not that. I don't ever, you know, propose to be. That's not what this is. But I can use my own experiences and my own education and training through all of these, because I tend to take education and training in areas that are going to benefit me. And then I put them into practice and develop a way of making it work for me and then share it with others. And that to me is very empowering. I find it's my gift. Not my gift to others, because that sounds a little arrogant. It was a gift to me. You know, when I woke up in the hospital 20 years ago alive after after wanting and almost successfully taking my own life, I realized I was given a second chance. And at that point in time, I really believed that I was given that chance to help others understand where I came from, because there was a lot of other people out there like me, and I had an opportunity to share with them. And as I got healthier, that's what I did. When I lost my husband in 2008 to suicide, I realized that, you know, and without going too deep into that story, I really believe I was there the night he died. I really believe, you know, he was suffering from mental illness. And just because of what happened that night, I believe that he lost his life to protect me. You know, that he did what he did to stop him from hurting me. And when I came out of that trauma and realized that he sacrificed himself for me, I realized that this gift I had been given as a second life was more monumental than I first believed. That I didn't just owe it to myself to share with others, I owed it to him. And it took me on a whole new journey of self-awareness and discovery. And I've been working on that. And my company did take a pivot for a few years. You know, I did focus on doing some things like some different businesses and following those passions and creating opportunities and jobs and community support and things like that. So now I'm back focused on this. And I think that was a gift of this pandemic and these new networks and new virtual classrooms and new podcasts and things like that. So here I am, and this is what I'm trying to do. So this is where I am. And the reason I'm telling you this story is because even now there's this but what if no one's interested? But what if no one cares? But what if you're wasting your time and no one's listening? Well, obviously you're listening, so my butt is wrong. I still have those butts. The difference is between what I used to do and what I do now is that I actually take a time to listen to them. I don't just let them go like this on the back of my head and undermine everything I'm doing. I stop and I go, wait, let's look at that. What if no one listens? What if I put out this podcast or this new virtual course and no one takes it? Or no one listens to my radio show or my podcast or my videos? What if that happens? And I play it out. I play out the worst case scenario. What if? Well, if my butt is right and no one listens to it, I will have spent half an hour talking about something that excites and empowers me. And if you're watching me on video, you can see it. I get energized by this because I realize how much power I have within me. And when I'm done this video, when I'm done this podcast, I'm probably going to do something really, really positive and productive in my life. Even if you're not watching it, after this is done, I'm going to do something positive and productive in my life. So that's the worst case scenario. That's my what if. Huh. If I can live with that, then my butt has no power. Then my butt has no power. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, what if? And I move on with my life. Now that has taken a lot of time and skill to develop. But the first thing you must do when you are embarking on a new adventure or a new relationship and those butts pop out, don't ignore them. Don't chastise yourself. How many times have you done that? A butt pops up and goes, oh my God, I shouldn't be thinking that way. What is wrong with me? That's just another butt. There is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with you. We all have butts in our head. We all have them. Some of us just give them more power. And you have the power to take your power back. I know that sounds confusing, but you do. You decide how much power and how much energy you're going to focus on that butt. So if you let it go and you let it grow and grow and grow and it gets louder and louder and louder and says, okay, you know what? I'm not going to do this new course. I'm not going to do this new podcast. I'm not going to go on this date. I'm not going to get, whatever your new adventure is. I'm not going to take this fitness class. I'm not going to start a new career or go to school because my butt has scared me. You've given your power to your butt. How you take that back is by challenging it. Play it out. What if your butt is right? Look at it. If you are looking at a new relationship and you go, oh my God, what if I meet this person and they don't like me? Well, what if? What if I get hurt? What if? Well, can you live with it? Is the reward bigger than the what ifs? Because the thing is, a what if isn't for sure. It's not for sure. It's not a guarantee. But if you don't try it, you'll never know. So you have to make that decision. Is the reward worth the risk? I know for me, 90% of the time, it is. But sometimes I play that out and I go, you know what? The risk isn't worth it. Maybe it's a financial risk because I can be very impetuous. I can be very, a little too spontaneous. So sometimes my butt is a good thing. It slows me down and makes me consider the pros and cons. Don't always think that that butt is bad. Listen to it, acknowledge it, and talk to it. Say, okay, what is it that is making me feel apprehensive about this? There's something here. Let's explore. And if you decide that the risks are worth the rewards, go for it. Play it out. Your intuition is powerful. Your butt is powerful. But only if it's coming from a place of truth. If it's coming from a place like some of mine were, based on a childhood experience or a bad relationship, or abuse or addiction or mental illness, then it can be devastating because we're still living within that abuse or that addiction or that illness. We haven't escaped it yet. Even though, you know, you could be clean, you could, you know, mental and physical abuse shapes who we are. When you hear that you're worthless again and again and again and again, eventually you start telling yourself. Even leaving that abusive relationship that will still have power over us if our brains still tell us the same thing our abuser did. We have to change those tapes. We have to change those thoughts. And the only way to do that is to acknowledge it. We don't just get rid of them. Those thoughts, the tapes in our head, run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our brain is functioning even when we're sleeping. We're not going to stop them. But what we have to do is change the message. And the only way we can change the message is by acknowledging it, challenging it, and correcting it. We replace it with more positive ones. So if that's the case, and I've been there, wait a second, I'm not worthless. That is just something someone told me so that they could hurt me. And they were wrong. Wow. And if that thought comes into my mind 30 times a day, I say 30 times a day, I am not worthless. That is just something someone told me so they could hurt me and they were wrong. And if it takes 30 times a day of saying it, maybe tomorrow it'll be 29 and 28 and 27. And eventually that thought barely shows up. And when it does, gone. It takes practice. It takes awareness and it takes a willingness to realize your own value and that you choose who you are. You choose what you're worth and you choose what those tapes say in your head. You've got the power to do it. You absolutely do. And no one deserves to have that kind of power over you. I don't care who they are. If you are in a relationship where your spouse or significant other is putting negative tapes in your head, you need to change that. And maybe sometimes, like I said, that physical distancing, you know what? You teach people how to treat you. If someone in your life is treating you that way, you need to raise your boundaries and say, that is not acceptable. Either you treat me like this or you're not in my life. And it could be a spouse. It could be a mother. It could be a friend. It could be a sister or a sibling, or it doesn't matter who it is. You teach people how to treat you. And the minute you start treating yourself with respect, love, compassion, and dignity, others will too. If you can't be your own best friend, if those tapes in your head don't treat you the way you would treat others, others will pick up on that. So start there. When those tapes play, say, would I say this to my own best friend? Where is this coming from? Is this true? What if? And play it out. Write it down in a journal if you need to. Shoot me an email if you need to. I'll help you do it. I'm happy to help. But let me know how your tapes work for you, how you change what they play, and if any of my tips help. And I'll talk to you later.
You've been keeping it real with Michelle Badusky. You can follow her on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
This is fun! The FU Network!